All right, so we talked about it a moment ago. The largest democracy in the world is in India, and here's how it sounded in Hyderabad, where elections are beginning today. 714 million people go to the polls in India over the next several weeks. This time around, there's a change. For the first time in some places, there will be electronic voting. It's been going on for years in India, but it just gives you a sense of the challenge and the scale of voting in the largest democracy in the world. And here to talk about the politics, local and otherwise, in India, and also the process of counting and voting in India is Nazis Avros from the BBC, South Asian editor. He joins us from London. Nazis Avros, thanks so much for coming back.
Thank you.
First of all, let's talk about the politics for a moment. You have said, and others have commented famously, that it's sometimes hard to see a broad national issue in India where the scale of politics, the scale of local politics, is sometimes counted in the millions and millions of votes for very, very simple municipal style issues.
Yes, true. But there is a very broad issue which is valid for every election, which is the quality of life, economy, whether people's lives are changing. You must remember, more than 70% of the Indian population, India has more than nearly 1.2 billion people, nearly 70% of them, so we are talking about more than 700 million people living in rural areas. Their quality of life is not very good. Nearly 60% of the population, they live just below or above the poverty line. So for them, earning their daily bread is very, very crucial. And these are the people who actually change everything. They come and their vote counts. And these are the people who vote in and vote out governments. So that remains the very big issue. Other than that, as you mentioned, there hasn't been any big issue, national issue, on which people would really go out and vote. There are various regional aspirations. For last 20 years, since the 1989 parliamentary election, we have not seen one big national party being able to form government on its own in Delhi. So they are dependent on small regional parties from various states. India has 26 states, and there are various regional parties. They may have only about between 20 to 40 members of parliament in a parliament of 543 members. And they become very crucial in the formation of government. So those regional aspirations, the development of different regions, different states, and this is those issues become their bargaining point and the bargaining chip when they deal with the major political party, national party, and go into a coalition.
Now, in the elections in neighboring Pakistan, we've seen that the leaders of Pakistan have really taken a political hit inside their country for focusing so much on the United States and issues outside of local politics. Is there a sense in which Indian politicians are looking at all to the global situation, particularly the new Obama administration, positioning themselves in some sort of future relationship?
Not that way. Foreign policy does not feature very high in these elections. One big thing, one very big global issue, of course, is very important, is the global economic downturn. When the advanced economies are in deep recession, including the US and Europe, now many of the Indian industries, they have big businesses in these with these advanced economies. India, unlike China, India is not so much dependent on export. India's economy is not dependent so much on export. Even the export they do, it's mostly knowledge-based, like IT industry. And they're doing relatively well in that. So India has not been hit like the way the advanced economies have. That massive growth India was registering for the last few years, at the rate of 9% per year, that has slowed down to about 7%. But at the same time, the inflation has gone down. We have not seen huge unemployment like the way we are seeing in the US or in Europe. So those things, of course, matter. So people are slightly worried about the global economy. But at the same time, when we think we are looking at it, in a way, it is helping the world economy in various ways. For the last 2 weeks, Indian stock market is doing remarkably well along with the other stock markets. And the stock market has appreciated by 40% the main stock market based in Mumbai, India's commercial capital, it has appreciated by 20%, by 40%, and nearly half of that is foreign investment. So in a way, India is linked with the globe, and they understand that, and they have understood that their time has come in the global arena. And that is why when the G20 summit happened in London a couple of weeks ago, the Indian Prime Minister, he took time out from campaigning. He came to London, and they were making that point that our time has come. We should have greater say in IMF and World Bank. Well, so they're establishing.
And emerging markets all over the world are having that same kind of resurgence. Before we go, final question. Religious parties have been successful in mobilizing the great rural population for populist messages, and that's transformed Indian politics in the past. Why has no party been able to mobilize those same rural residents on economic grounds?
Regional parties, there was a time that was the late 80s, early 90s. There was a period, there was this Hindu-Muslim divide, and Hindu religious parties, various Hindu religious groups, they could rally around the religious sentiments. But eventually, ultimately, if the quality of life doesn't change, the voters will reject those parties. And this is exactly what happened.
Right.
And also one must remember, India, inherently, it's a very pluralistic society. Pluralism is inherent in the Indian psyche. So it's very difficult to ride on religious sentiment for a long time. So finally, you have to look at the economy. You have to change the quality of life of the voters. And when you come back after 5 years and ask for their votes, and this is where that is the biggest challenge for all the political parties.
Well, as we might say in the United States, it's the economy stupid, but no Indian would be so impolite as to use the word stupid. Nasir Zafaroz, thanks so much for joining us, South Asian editor at the BBC World Service. It will take months to vote and then weeks to count those votes, but we will have a result, and the coalition building will be difficult in India, the largest democracy in the world. Nasir Zafaroz, thanks so much for joining us.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.